Blog Talk Radio.
You are now about to witness the
good mood. She can walk with a switch and talk with street slang. I love it when a woman ain't scared to do a thing. Standing at the bus stop, sucking on a lollipop. Once she gets pumping, it's hard to make the hottie stop. She likes to dance to the rap jam. She's sweet as brown sugar with the candy yams. Honey coated complexion, using Cabernet. Let's hear it for the girl, she's from around the way. That's why I had to dedicate at least one rhyme to all the cuties in the neighborhood. Cause if I didn't tell you, then another brother would. You're sweet like sugar with your gangster talk. Wanna eat you like a cookie when I see you walk. With your rayon silk, or maybe even denim. It really doesn't matter as long as you're in them. You can break cards and manipulate minds, or surrender, act tender, be gentle and kind. You always know what to say and do. Coat flip when you think your man is playing you. Not cheap or petty, you're ready for loving. You're real independent, so your parents be bugging. But if you ever need a place to stay, come around my way.
Technical difficulties.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Let it be known.
Better wake up.
Let it be known.
Relax and take notes.
Know something if you learn to stop running.
Let it be known.
Once again, back is the incredible.
No one can do it better.
You're now rocking with the best.
Let it be known.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Let it be known live radio. This is our king with my lovely host, Miss Jones.
Hello, hello. Good night, all.
Yo, I am having so many technical difficulties behind the scenes. Things was going back and forth. I uploaded music that actually didn't go inside the back office, the studio portion of what was going on. And then I had to reset a whole bunch of things. So I was dealing with so much in 2 minutes.
Oh, wow.
I'm so pissed. So Blog Talk Radio has to get it together. They have to get it together.
Yeah, I think something's wrong with the site because I can't log in.
Yeah, I just had to log out of the system and log back into the system. I couldn't unmute you, so I was fighting to get all of that done in about 2 minutes.
So is the chat room open?
Yeah, it's open.
Oh, okay. I'm searching. Oh, it's verify my identity.
That wasn't a problem. The problem was the entire system that I was actually fighting with. So, you know, it just blacked out on me. But nonetheless, we're here. You know, as professionals do, you fight through it regardless.
Yes.
You make no excuses.
Yes, yes, yes.
You get it done. You get it done. And always excited to be here every Wednesday evening to chime in on these topics and just to have good dialogue. You know, Ms. Jones, good dialogue. You know?
Yes, yes, definitely, definitely.
You know, and it's kind of interesting that, let me just say this, and I'm going to put this out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this platform, what we do here, is so much more to come inside this whole Let It Be Known vision. And just with exerting this platform and this dialogue, we get a lot of people that listen to the show every Wednesday from all over the country. We've had listeners from abroad that call in and chime in on the topic, which has been very humbling. Behind the scenes, we get a lot of people that actually suggest to us what topics they want to hear so that we can bring it to the listener. So the platform, has been very therapeutic and very substance-driven in providing a voice for all of those that partake on these Wednesday nights. So we take it very serious, myself and Ms. Jones, to bring this to you and be consistent in doing so. And these topics, very much prevalent that we come up with in a collaborative way, myself and Ms. Jones, to talk about are touching people. You know, when we put some of these things on social media leading up to the topic during the week, we put it on social media, we get a lot of feedback, a lot of energy. And we kind of laugh at it, myself and Ms. Jones, about how people kind of go crazy on the thread with providing their input. And we want them to, you know, we want them to call in on a Wednesday night just to share that foresight, you know, and that perspective on the topic so that we can pretty much, you know, put it out there, you know, and put it out there and share, you know, that good feedback. I'm gonna play a little music, Ms. Jones. I'm gonna do something a little different while we're talking. I'm gonna play a little music on the background right behind us. You know how it goes out. Change up the energy a little bit. But, you know, anyone, you know, the lines are beginning to fill up. I see a few people in the chat room. You know, if this is your first time joining us, this is what we do every Wednesday. We bring it right to you. The topic, prevalent things that most would stray away from and kind of avoid. We bring it right to you and break it up in little pieces. And tonight is no different. You know, tonight we're gonna address, and this was something, Ms. Jones, I really wanted to talk about for the past couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
I just pretty much was waiting for the right time. I felt that, you know, the momentum of the show was going real good. You know, why not go a little bit deeper and pull some layers off and pull some scabs off? And let's talk about domestic violence, you know, something that most of us probably have been privy to, connected to us directly with some people that we know, and maybe a relative, maybe a close friend. Someone has dealt with this where it hit home.
Yes, right at the doorstep.
You know, exactly, right at the doorstep. So, you know, I definitely felt there was need to really address this and really take some layers off. You know, I'm going to provide a few bullet points during the course of the show. I know a lot of our listeners are going to come in, call in, our consistent listeners, that is, are going to join us in on the panel, and we're always ready for that good input. What I will say is that we'll probably get some people that may even share their own personal testimonies on this particular topic with domestic violence, because it's serious. It's a serious issue. We need to talk about these things. And every week, that's what we do. We want to talk about the things that we have to deal with in this thing called life. Let's not walk away from these things and run away from it, act like it don't exist. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it, you know, which is important. So before we really get into the topic dead on, Ms. Jones, what do you have for us in terms of current events? What's going on in the world, local, national, global? You got anything juicy for us?
Juicy, kind of, sort of. Well, you know, today is they're celebrating, I believe it's the 5th year anniversary of Michael Jackson's death.
Absolutely.
You know, a few months ago, was it a few months ago or last month, they had the Billboard Awards, or one of those awards, where they had his hologram on stage. So apparently his children want the hologram to be a part of their daily lives. So, yeah, the people that actually created the hologram, I think that guy James Cameron, that big movie director, had something to do with it. He doesn't want to really speak on it much, but that's what's going on. They want their daddy's hologram. There's two instances of toddlers being left in cars. You know, usually with the summer months, we tend to hear about these more often. In Georgia...
What's wrong with people?
In Georgia, a father actually left his toddler in the car, and the boy died. He was 22 months old. The father actually thought he dropped him off at the daycare, but he didn't. And it's reported that around 4:30-ish or something, the father actually, on his lunch break, he came to the car to put something in the car and went back to work. Then I guess around 4:30.
Wait, did he have dementia? How did he thought he dropped the baby off?
You know, I guess people get so caught up in the routine of things that, yeah, like you said, it might have been a dementia. I'm not even sure. But he really thought he dropped his kid off. So the child did end up dying, and, yeah.
Wow.
So they're charging him with, I think it's manslaughter, but he's being charged. Then... recently, I think today, we have a nanny in New York, Long Island, New York. She actually left a three-year-old toddler in the car to go shoplifting in Target. They said that the car was at least 100 degrees. The child was rescued and treated for dehydration. She was actually in Target for 35 minutes shoplifting. And now there are reports that she's not too well. So I would just like to say to those parents that are leaving their child in the care of other individuals, please make sure these background checks and nanny cams or what have you, this is just crazy. But like I said, every summer we hear about toddlers in cars and stuff, and, you know. Don't really have much else going on. Do you hear anything else?
I was, the thing is today, I was just so busy and so consumed with the day. I was doing so much. So I usually, kind of make my points to some of the breaking news. You know, I know that on a lighter note, I know that the Miami Heat fans are pretty much feeling some kind of way because LeBron James announced yesterday he's going to opt out of his contract, and go with being an unrestricted free agent. So that should be interesting this summer to see how this plays out. You know, that guy is just not loyal.
So I'm not really a sports head, but does that mean that, he's not going to play with them anymore, or can he still play with them?
Yeah, he doesn't. You know, he had an option in his contract. you know, after this season where he can, you know, enter the free agency pool, and he's opting to take that alternative, you know. He's looking to play some
of the rest.
See what happens. I'm personally not a LeBron fan. You know, I'm a fan of the game. I'm just not a fan, you know, a LeBron fan. So that was pretty much a shell shocker to the Miami fans yesterday, that news. You know? But it is what it is. People go where the money is. You know, where the money is. You know, he wants to win. He doesn't want to lose. You know, that's another show. You know, I just think that
is so true. We do need to talk about competition and being competitive. Great. Love it.
Yeah. But no one, everyone wants to win, but they don't want to lose. You know what I'm saying? But the winning is in losing.
Exactly.
You know? So when they lose, they don't know how to deal with it. They're ready to abandon ship and not rough it out and kind of regroup and reapproach the whole situation. And that conjunction is a strong conjunction with our everyday lives. A lot of people just don't want to go through the pressures of losing. So they only want to win. You know? I just made a note of that.
Yeah.
We certainly addressed it on the show. But let's get into this domestic violence thing, though. I want to welcome everyone to Let It Be Known Live Radio. This is Al King and my lovely co-host, Ms. Jones. If this is your first time joining us, every Wednesday at 8 p.m. we do this. We work very hard to bring you prevalent topics that we can discuss, some things that we all can learn from. And like I had this conversation today with my brother Black, I said, what we do here is we have a conversation. We open up the line, we bring you in. Anyone that presses one, we bring them in, and we don't cut you off. We're not like other shows that say, thank you for calling in. Let's move on to the next caller. We want you to stay with us. And the beautiful thing is that we've had 20-something people on the line at once with open mics, and everyone is respectful to everyone's opinion. We don't have people that stomp people out. So the tone here and culture is so beautiful, so you can still get your point across. So domestic violence tonight, feel free to join us. Anyone in the chat room with any notes, I'll share it on the air. And let's talk about it. I'm going to give you a quick synopsis of what we're going to discuss tonight. And here we go. It's recorded at every 9 seconds in the U.S. A woman is assaulted or beaten. With those statistics, that would bring us to almost 7 women a minute, which is insane. It's also recorded that a man is severely assaulted by his wife or girlfriend every 14.6 seconds. So it's not only women. And when we hear domestic violence, we kind of omit a man because we don't believe that men can be abused. You know, in a relationship, we think that it's just the man abusing a woman. So I just wanted to put that in there as well. Relationships will go through their challenges, but when it becomes violent, it ignites so much other dynamics. Children are affected, mental and physical damage, and sometimes death in the end. This is a serious issue that sadly takes the lives of up to 3 women a day in this country. 3 women a day, Ms. Jones. 3 women a day. I know a few women personally that I know. I've been able. And you know this, Ms. Jones, I've mentored a lot of people. You know, I've been very blessed to be in a position where people look to me for some direction. I've actually coaxed a lot of women out of these kind of situations. Am I a professional? No, I'm not. It's just a God-given anointment where I've been in the right place at the right time just to help some people deal with some personal vices and getting them through some of these things. So I know some women that were in these ugly relationships where these men took full advantage of them physically and mentally. You know, I know too many ugly stories, and I had to be a friend to a woman and helping them, you know, get through it. And some people, and I want you to pretty much share what you had shared with me earlier, Ms. Jones, about a comment on Facebook. You know, a lot of people are insensitive. They think that if you're in a relationship with someone mistreating you, they're beating you, get out of it. It's easier said than done. It's so easy to say that, you know, because you're not in it. But when a person has a vested interest in a relationship, sometimes children in the middle, as ludicrous as it may sound to you, it's not so easy just to get out of it.
Exactly.
Not. It's totally not. So for those insensitive people, you know, that really believe that, it's delusional, you know.
Mm.
It's a very sensitive plague that we deal with, where women are abused, men are also abused. As a man, I think that when you have to reach a level where it becomes physical, you don't need to be in that relationship no more. A lot of men are punks and cowards that exert that kind of frustration on a weakness of a woman, you know, and beat them up. I know a lot of men that only beat up on their women. They're not going to challenge another man.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. They're totally not. You know, cowards that'll do so. I'm going to pass this to you, Ms. Jones. Feel free, anyone inside the chat room, to share your notes with us. We'll share it online. Let's talk about this. I expect this show to be full of a lot of input and even testimony. But Ms. Jones, what's your opening thoughts on this?
Wow. The way I feel about domestic violence, it's like a wide array of emotions. I don't want to say we've all been there, but I've been there. I've been, you know, in terms of just being around someone that you care about and, you know, when they lash out and they reach for you or you reach for them, and it's like it's a war zone. It's like now you're fighting with someone that you just slept with or that you were just intimate with. And, you know, when we talk about domestic violence, you know, a lot of people immediately it's, you know, it's like a relationship. Someone's with someone intimately. But it's not always just about that. There was a famous soccer player, I believe her name was Hope something or other, and she actually went to a family event and she attacked her sister's and I think her sister's child or something or what have you. So it's not just, you know, individuals that are intimate with one another. It's like your siblings, your mother, your father, you know, wherever, when you live with someone, you're in a relationship with someone and there's verbal, there's physical, there's emotional, there's just so many, you know, different types of things that happen. And sometimes it's subtle. Sometimes there's a buildup. So what we'll, you know, discuss tonight is just the various types, who deals with it, who speaks up about it. Some people never speak up about it. Some people actually succumb to it. You know, they die at the hands of their abuser. Some individuals end up in jail because they try to protect themselves and, you know, they try to defend themselves. So there's a lot of different faces and aspects of domestic violence. So that's basically my opening thought. You know,
but you know what's interesting? The law is kind of funny because if I were to raise my voice inside my house and a neighbor heard me, right, and called the police, you know, they would treat me as if, you know, there was some physical harm. But I've seen situations where there have been women showing apparent issues, you know, physical issues, and they kind of work with the man. I've seen situations like that, you know. So the law is kind of double-sided. I know being in North Carolina is a little bit differently because I knew some, you know, I had some neighbors where they went through a domestic issue, and I saw a woman get locked up because the man was bleeding. So, you know, any kind of laceration, any kind of blood exploited, you know, someone has to go. So,
yeah.
You know, I know in different states, you know, is different. But, you know, I know back in New York, you know, they're a little bit more lenient. You know, probably being in the biggest city, you know, and a little bit more lax with that, you know. But you made some good points with that. And I want to point this point out because I have a whole bunch of other points in terms of statistics and recordings, but it said that domestic violence is the leading cause of injury to women, more than car accidents, muggings, and rapes combined. That's crazy.
Mm.
It's crazy. And like you said, a lot of women, you know, they don't talk about it. You know, did you get any programs, Ms. Jones? You know, any hotlines? Because I know you're very good with those things that we can shoot over the air.
There's a national domestic violence hotline. Let me get that. And we'll be repeating this at the end of
the show. Absolutely.
So we have the National Domestic Violence Hotline, which is 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 1-800-799-SAFE, SAFE 7233. And then I actually had someone text me about a service, Edwin Gould Services for Children and Families. They have preventive service programs. The website is www.egscf.org. We'll find some more through the course of the show. Or if anyone wants to call in with any, you know, definitely please call in, you know, with like Al said earlier, with any testimonials and basically websites, or, you know, like if you want to hit us in the chat room.
Can you put that, put that number inside the chat line again? That hotline number?
Okay.
Okay. And this is, you know, I want to talk a little bit about identification, because a lot of women don't even believe that they're actually in this situation as volatile and abusive, you know, both mentally and physically. So they believe that it's just something that's just happening in their relationship, and they grow to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just like that clip that I had shared on Facebook where you have the guy yelling, you know, at the, you know, I believe to be the mother of his children, and then they're on the train, which was in the Bronx, was the actual 4 train. Very familiar with that line, because that's where.
You know, I couldn't watch the end of it. Did he pour milk on her or something? Because
yeah, he
was
poured milk. He took the top off the milk and he threw the milk in her face, and then. The end was just so, it was just so sad, because she started talking about, he took all my money. He took the rent money. He took all the money. You know, and I'm just, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about an actual video that sort of went viral that I was watching on Facebook, where this guy was just being so abusive to the mother of his children in front of the children. So, you know, it was just sad, very sad, and someone was recording it. And the thing is, someone was recording it instead of calling the police. You know what I'm saying? I just don't understand how people are. You know what I'm saying?
I was very surprised by that, too, because, I mean, there's always police presence on these trains. So, or is there not? I mean, I'm not much of a train rider. I was on a train. But it's weird. As much, even though I'm not a train rider, a frequent train rider, I was actually on the train last week, and there were cops on there. So I'm shocked. I was like, that was very sad to watch. Like I said, I couldn't finish watching the whole thing.
But you know, they're never around when they should be around.
Exactly.
They're around when nothing is going on. It just was a sad, you know, sad thing to see. And, you know, I've seen it over and over and over, you know, and the level of dysfunction that this takes place on, you know, a lot of us have grown to accept it. We can no longer decipher this as abuse. We look at it now as a behavior, acceptable behavior, you know. And what happens is, you know, it becomes reoccurring through the children, because the children see it and they grow up to become violent because this is what they've been exposed to. You know, okay. It doesn't go away. You know, it continues to transpire over and over and over.
And that's the thing. I mean, you don't necessarily, there's various causes, because everyone's situation is different. But when you actually scale back and you inquire and see, usually it stems from, you know, like you just said, the individual has been exposed to abuse as a child. you know, and it's not that it's the norm, because of course abuse is abnormal, but they mm-hmm. tend to grow up thinking and believing that it's normal. And only do you have individuals that think it's normal to inflict the abuse, but you have individuals that think it's normal for them to take it, you know. So mm-hmm. when you have those two individuals collide, it's very dysfunctional and destructive and abnormal. So, you know, you have individuals that sit and say, like, you know, we were saying earlier, Al, when one of our Facebook friends was like, why would someone just stick around? Why not just leave? When you have two individuals that come from broken and abnormal lifestyles in terms of childhood, or, you know, one may have been molested and one may have lived a good life, but her father or his father or parents didn't pay them any attention. So there's voids there. And when they meet, they become codependent on each other. So there's a codependency that becomes kind of sort of blinded, and they feel that they're in love with each other. So when the bad things start occurring, like the violence or the miscommunication, when that starts to occur, it's not to say there is no escape, but that's not an option for them because they're so codependent on each other, so they stick around and they stay with each other, even though it's so chaotic and one or both are getting abused and hit physically or mentally or what have you. It becomes a normal. It becomes an everyday normal type of lifestyle for them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's very sad because, you know, when we see it or when they talk about it, too many people brush it off. Too many people say, well, that couldn't be me. I mean, I've even said it. I'm fucking it up. You touch me. Ugh, what? No, I'm leaving. But there's an empathy that comes with knowing that everyone's not like you. Everyone's not going to deal with the situation the way you would. And then sometimes when it's right at your doorstep, when you're in it, you're kind of like, oh, I thought I would have dealt with it like this, but I guess not.
That's,
you know, so
true.
It's a very interesting situation, and honestly, I just hope that at the end of it all, the person or individuals, they part. You know, either they part or they work towards just getting better and communicating better and being more loving, because unfortunately, when you have those blinders on and you're abusing each other and you're being combative and you're just no holds barred, that's what your love is. That dysfunction is what you put next to love. You put it in the love pot, and that's not love. You know, we hear the cliche, love doesn't hurt, and it's true, it doesn't. It really doesn't. If someone has to put their hands on you, or if you feel that if this person isn't putting their hands on me, I'm not loved, that's a red flag. And that's what I want to talk about. We want to talk about red flags, because there's a lot of red flags. One red flag is if you're talking to an individual that you're with, and he or she always cuts you off, and you brush it off, and you're like, oh, I'm going to just let him talk. I be talking too much anyway. And it's like you start to notice every time you talk, he just cuts you off. Or she just cuts you off. And I say she because, like Al said earlier, we don't want to get caught in the bubble that this only happens to women.
Mm-hmm.
It happens to men. It happens in gay couples. It happens in lesbian couples. It happens to children. It happens to everyone. It happens to elderly individuals. There are a lot of people that are being abused mentally, physically. Yeah. And it's like they just eat it. And I don't want to say I don't understand why they eat it. I do understand why they eat it, but hopefully if you're listening, you know, you reach out, if not to us, you know, to the numbers of the hotlines that we give you, reach out. Take today to be, you know, it's not an easy road. None of our struggles are easy roads, but you have to understand that there's a better tomorrow, And that tomorrow doesn't have to be with someone affecting you, demeaning you, making you feel like you deserve to be hurt. Think that.
And it's big. It's, you know, the therapeutic process of it, though, Ms. Jones, is big and it's deep. You know, what's interesting is that, you know, I've watched some people come out of these very abusive relationships and now they become the abuser.
Exactly. Because they still haven't healed. They still haven't healed.
Absolutely.
They're still carrying the baggage from, you know, what happened to them. And we also mentioned in the last show, you have females that, you know, they meet a guy and they tell him, you know, I've been abused before and you know, I don't, and the guy's like, I won't do it to you. I will never put my hands on you. And 6 months in, a year in, he's putting hands and feet on her. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. What just happened? You know, so it's a very, you know, it's just real sad. Real sad.
I remember being younger, and I remember the family next door to my family. I remember the father very abusive to the mother, and I remember seeing the little kids. I remember seeing one of the boys with the black eye and being abused. And it used to break my heart because I was young, and he was maybe close to my age. And I used to see him, you know, with the black eye, and I said, wow, you know, how can a father do this, you know, to the kid? And, you know, people sort of, instead of reporting these things, people, you know, sort of always resort to just turning out the cheek and kind of like,
you know,
minding their business. You know, minding their
business. You know what I think they do, Al? They hope that it ends, or they hope that he or she doesn't end up dead. There's a lot of people, especially in the black community, I call it the hope factor. A lot of people hope and wish that, I wish it don't happen to me. I hope it doesn't happen to them. I wish they get out of it. I hope it gets better. It's a hope and wish thing. So people rather hope and wish than actually do something, say something. Make a phone call, anonymous tip. I mean, your next-door neighbor, right next door, and you can't, every day she coming out her house with her head down, and you can't say nothing to her. So, I don't know. I guess people don't want to get caught up. No one wants to be a good Samaritan anymore. No one wants to extend the helping hand. It's like, it's not me. It's not my problem. Next.
But you know in these situations as well, if you help someone, they'll build a level of resentment towards you for trying to help them. You know, a lot of women are very good at that because despite him abusing her, they don't want to see him hurt. They don't want to see him get locked up. They don't want to see him get hurt. You know, positively
hurt. And you
know what?
That's what my Facebook friend was telling me earlier today. She said that there are court cases, in terms of domestic violence court cases, where they're open to the public. So you can literally go in and sit and watch these cases. And she says at the end of most of these cases, or even during the cases, the abuser and the abusee are sitting holding hands. And, you know, when the judge lays down the law or what have you, they walk out holding hands and kissing each other and, you know, the next day, they're fighting again, and they're calling 911 again. So it's like a repetitive cycle, and it just makes you wonder. Well, like I said, it doesn't really make me wonder, but it makes other individuals wonder why won't she leave or why won't he leave, or, you know, I feel like, and that's what we said earlier when we had to talk about this whole failure thing. I think a lot of people, they equate letting go of something so toxic instead of them equating it with being free and being happy, they equate it to failing and being miserable and being sad, and it's like, what's going on? But like I said, when you peel it back and you scale it back and you look at what's been going on in their lives and how they grew up, or sometimes it's not even about their childhood. Sometimes, you know, their childhood was great. They got all the attention. They had both parents in the home. They had everything, you know. Sometimes it's not about the childhood. Sometimes, you know, when they get to a certain age, they need attention from their peers.
they seek a certain level of attention, either sexual or otherwise, and this person probably fills all those voids. So now
let
that...
Let me tell you, and you're so right with that. Let me jump in for a second, Ms. Jones, because this is the thing. And I'm gonna speak to the ladies though right now on this, because vulnerabilities breed disrespect. What do I mean by that? You get in a relationship with a person, you're vulnerable. There's some voids that are missing. You meet this person, he portrays to be the answer to these voids. You break down, and you take your guards down. You let him in to your world. And at the beginning, he does fulfill that void that you've been missing. So what happens over a period of time is that that generosity now becomes a factor of manipulation. And I've had these talks with a lot of women that have been in these domestic violent situations, and I've voiced this to them over and over, is that you're dealing with a weak man, a very weak man that is hiding behind your strength. And they say, strength, I feel so weak. No, he's making you believe that you're weak. The psychological thing, based on the vulnerabilities that you presented from the beginning. Now, a lot of mothers out there are very vulnerable when they become a single parent, and they have to deal with the obvious challenge of providing for their children. So if a man comes inside the equation and he portrays to be a solid man that can possibly help you fend in this world, you're going to be indebted to him in some kind of way. Now, if his intentions are not genuine and he becomes this person that manipulates the situation, it may become controlling. Now, when you go against the grain, his response may become physical. So, again, it's all about the vulnerabilities. And we're all vulnerable. But it's just who we allow to let inside our perimeters, inside our world, inside our life during that process and during that period of being vulnerable. So
and
everyone is not, everyone is not there for your best interest,
exactly.
And your long-term betterment.
But you see how what you said about being vulnerable, that's when the blinders come on, because you're in such a sensitive and vulnerable state that you're not paying attention. And you know what, me personally, I'm grateful for the little vulnerable moment that I had. And you know why? Because when you're able to come through that and you have that hindsight and you have that realization, that's the beauty of vulnerability. You have some that don't make it through that, though. You have some that get stuck. And when they get stuck, it's like, you just stuck. But when you're vulnerable and you let people in or you let the wrong individual in, and it's like a web, it's really like a sticky web, because it's like you said, you're broken and you just want to heal, and you don't want to, stick to yourself or become a hermit. You want to go out there and meet new friends or do whatever it is.
Because it takes a special person, Ms. Jones. It takes a very special person to handle your vulnerabilities with care and not take advantage of you. It takes a special person to do that. And, I tell a lot of my women and my lady friends, in these talks, when I'm providing that support, I say, for a man to not take advantage of you and your vulnerabilities, it takes a real man to do so.
Exactly.
When he's going to identify with your vulnerabilities and not use them against you.
Exactly.
And what happens is, the manipulator, he takes advantage of the vulnerable woman, and then he tries to make her feel guilty in some kind of way along this process.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
And that's when you have to start watching for the red flags. That's when you have to. But like I said, you're still in your vulnerable state, so you don't want to see any red flags. You don't want to think, oh, my gosh, this person is trying to manipulate me. You don't want to be paranoid, but you really have to, you know, pay attention to what could possibly be happening, because you really can't have a manipulator on your hand. And at the end of that road, it's not going to be pretty.
What he'll do, though. You know, and that's what he'll do. And he'll tell her, you know, saying, you know, look at what I've done for you. Hmm. When we got together, you were dealing with this. And who is this person to tell you that you wouldn't have got out of it? You may not have got out of that vice or, you know, that particular dilemma at that particular time, but it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to happen. And that's when you got to key in. You got to keep the antennas up, because I see so many strong women, and I have so much love and admiration for women, because y'all so super dope with it. You know what I'm saying? As emotional that y'all are, y'all so firm and so strong in any situation, you know, and no man can even compare to that kind of stamina and that kind of endurance that a woman possesses. It's only when she is manipulated by men that strength begins to dissipate.
Yeah.
And she'll relinquish that strength for a weak man.
Exactly. Wow,
for
I love
a weak man.
You giving your strength away to some lame that don't even,
And this is what I want to emphasize that so much, you know, because there's somebody right now going through something. They trying to figure out, you know, I just don't feel strong enough. They saying to themselves every day, I just don't feel strong enough. He still gives me strength. You know, so what, you know, he yells at me, he puts hands on me, but you know what? I deserve it. No, you don't deserve it. You don't never deserve it. But in their mind, they have to justify this madness.
Sometimes it's not even about deserving it. Sometimes you could reword it and say, oh, dang, he'll be all right. He going to walk through these doors and he just going to smile that smile, and we're going to be sitting here laughing. We're going to be good for another 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks. And then it's going to pop off and he's going to admit it, or something's going to happen. And it's like it's like you're on pins and needles. You're just waiting for another incident, you know. You're waiting, but you're hoping and wishing that it doesn't go down that way.
And it does. I mean, it continues to go down like that. You know, as I'm talking, I'm thinking about so many people that I know personally that have been affected by these things and how they dealt with these situations. And a lot of these women, you know, some of them that I know, they got out of it. Some of them are still in it, and they're trying to make sense of it. And there's no sense to make out of it at all, because we can die while we're living. You know, someone can just come into your life and just suck everything out of it, take all the life out of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just because you're living don't mean that you're living. That's the thing. I'm sorry about that. I got distracted a little bit. But that's the thing, that we can't be distracted by and slighted by. You know, these are real issues, and we have to look at these. And that's why it's important that we have shows like this and we talk about it, because I know that someone is listening right now trying to figure it out. They're trying to figure it out. They're trying to say, what should I do? You know, when is a teenager? We got teenagers. We got young people that are in love that watched abusive relationships, and they think that this is the way to live. Oh, so right, he got mad at me. We fought. No. That can't happen. I'm a father. If my daughter, I always talk about my daughter on many shows. You know, my daughter's 20. She'll be 21 in December. She has a boyfriend. If he puts his hands on her for whatever reason, and I already told him, the way you treat her, I'm going to treat you. And I'm going to break something. If I swear, I already said that. You put your hands on, any man puts his hands on my door, I'm breaking something. She don't have to worry about it. I'm going straight break something. I'm going to break something. I got two sisters, and I've always felt like that. You know, when a man mm-hmm. puts his hand on it, he got to deal with me. That's it.
Now I love how you're passionate about that, as any father should be. But I want to flip it. You know, you have women out there that do lie, and they do, not saying that your siblings or your daughter's going to lie. I'm saying there are other women out there that will flip it and be like, oh, well, I'll call my brother on you, and they'll do the most. They'll be in these men. And then the men, they become the individuals getting abused, because you have these females that will be in their face, pushing them, fingering, finger waving, and all type of stuff. He trying to go.
Well, you're talking about they sort of embellish, they sort of fabricate what transpired. The man may have not put his hands on them. It might have been a verbal argument.
Yes.
Those situations do happen.
Mm-hmm. Or she'll
go into
his car and hit him and scratch him, you know, and it's a bunch of stuff. And it's like the guy doesn't want to hit her. But she'll smack him around and all this stuff, and she'll be like, hit me. You don't want to hit me? And all this other
stuff.
But
that's
when
the tables will turn. And
exactly.
The woman is actually the abuser.
Exactly.
I mean, I know a few men that have been abused by their women, and they refuse, you know, to retort and actually go back and you know, be combative with her. But they, you know, in the same way we would tell a woman, he has to find an escape route. He has to find a way to get out of that situation.
And,
you know,
and
he can't stay in that neither.
Yeah, it's very interesting because it's 2014, and, you know, we're under the guise that men have options. Men shouldn't have to deal with that. Men can go wherever they want to go. They can deal with some other chick. So why would he even be in an abusive relationship? But what we want to escape is that whole thing that this only happens to women, and it's, you know, it's only a woman's problem and a female issue. It really isn't, you know. So
it's totally not.
I wanted to touch on some of the red flags in terms of, you know, what are some of the red flags and the signs. You know, I mentioned, you know, the cutting off, the basically blocking you out, the are you done? You know, I'm not a big fan of that. If we're having any type of argument, discussion, or what have you, do not are you done me. I think that is just the word. But that's one of the things. Stalking. Sorry, I wanted to talk about stalking. Yeah, because the thing about stalking is we have some individuals that think stalking is cute. Did you know that?
I think there's a strong sense of entitlement with people that stalk. If they're in a relationship, they feel like they can do that, you know. They can stalk.
No, that's not what I mean.
Are you speaking from that aspect?
No, I'm speaking from the aspect where you have individuals that feel like, well, if my man's not stalking me or if a man isn't stalking me, then something's wrong with me or my goodies. So you have individuals that embellish the whole, yes, please, you never heard. I've even said it in jest. It would really bother me if I actually had someone, and I'm sure I've had. But
they have a problem because they're not being stalked.
It's weird. It's weird. It's kind of like it's a thing where girls. Or
you
even some guys.
Let me tell you, you always
yes,
stir the pot with these things that just I'm just sitting here like really.
You have some guys that really get a kick out of chicks stalking them. Now they'll talk about it amongst their friends, like, yo, this chick came up to my job, or you'll have girls say it. You'll have girls like, oh my god, he came by my job to see who I was talking to. He was with me during my lunch hour, after my lunch hour, he waited for me after the job. He went shopping around the job just to make sure he could pick me up from the job. And it's like they're still with this person. And there's an underlying fear.
This is excellent. I'm glad you brought this up. This is actually an excellent think because you had me thinking. You actually had me thinking on this. This is actually a good point. Hold on one real quick, Ms. Jones. Let's bring a call in real quick.
Okay.
The lines are starting to fill up. We're going to get to all the callers right now. 912-996, Let It Be Known Live Radio. Welcome.
Hello?
912-996.
Hey.
You're on.
Oh, hey, how you doing? I just been sitting here
Hello.
Listening to y'all.
We thought you wanted to come in. Did you press 1?
Yeah, I pressed 1. I was just waiting for my chance to talk. I was just sitting here listening to y'all. What's the thing you're saying?
Hey, we just want to let everyone know. Please press 1 so you can interject and, chop it up. Let's go. So what would you like to add to this?
Well, y'all was really passionate about what y'all was saying. I didn't want to just interrupt you. Y'all was just sitting there listening to
it. It is quite all right. We're just as passionate about hearing what you have to say. So please let us know. What would you like to?
Well, I'll just chime in. I never been abusive, but I have been in a mental and verbal abusive relationship before with a female.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was a high school crush, and I was a real sheltered guy when I was growing up, man. My family was really religious, man. I really didn't have no romantic contact with any kind of, with opposite sex. And when I met her when I was in my 20s, I'm a man, I'm going to talk to this girl, So we got together and everything, and she would just like rag on me for being like slow, and she would call me slow, and she called me stupid, and all that, man. And she had me pawn most of my electronics just for her to go out and buy her clothes and go out and go buy her liquor, Yeah, man. And it was like, And I tried to go to college, and she tagged along with me. And she did not work at all. I ended up having to go to college, having to work FedEx at night, and then had to pull a delay to pay for a little room we had at the hospital, man, while she slept all night and all day.
Man.
But when the time come to party, man, she was up, and there I was with her. So I pretty much blamed myself for that, But I ended up being hundreds of miles away, homeless, sleeping in my car with her. Eventually we came back home, and, after all that, going through all that, giving her everything that I had, almost selling everything I had for her, she said, I need a man. And at that point, I just kind of just snapped and just said, you know what, that's it. And I pretty much hung up the phone on her and didn't talk to her for about 2 years. And that was the end of it. Looking back on it, I think I never really loved her, but it was just that she was all I knew. And I think that's the big deal with a lot of people in abusive relationships. The person that is abusive to them is all they know, and they're afraid of starting over. Or they never start over, and that person was like the very first person that gave them attention.
And that's the codependency that I'm talking about. And I just wanted to get your name. Or, if you want to remain anonymous,
My name
is Jason. I'm sorry?
Jason.
Okay, thank you. So, that's the codependency we're talking about, when we say that that's all you know, that's what you're familiar with, she fills some void, and I'm sure you filled the void for her. Maybe she didn't verbalize it, she didn't know how to, but... That's definitely the codependency we're talking about. I'm very sorry that you had to go through that. What did you take from it, ultimately, and how have you moved forward since in other relationships?
Ah, man. I just took for it like let nobody treat you like a sucker. That's about the problem. Even if you love them, man, you got to love yourself first, man, before you love anybody else.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
If you're not really loving yourself, then anybody who comes on that seems like they love you, you're going to be all up in their face and all up in their stuff and just don't care how they treat you. And that's going to, and you're going to end up losing in the long run, you know.
You know, Jason, I appreciate you sharing that, but, you know, I hear so many different situations like that, and it's kind of dope that you being a man for you to share that on a platform tonight, which
exactly.
I appreciate because the perspective is so sexist with these situations because you know people really believe that it's only men that are being an abuser, you know,
yeah.
And it's women as well, you know, and the concept of collaborating with someone in a relationship is for you to bring something to the table and me to bring something to the table. We come together and we build something from there. You know, not for one person to actually make it their objective in destroying that other person. You know, you were in a dark place. You know, there was nothing complimentary about this relationship. You know, I feel your spirit now, you know, and you feel light, so I'm glad that it hasn't you know been that daunting, you know. There's a lot of bitter people and there's a lot of scorned people that haven't gotten over these situations, you know, and they just carry these situations over and over on into new relationships, and they become the person that hurts everyone that they come in
exactly
in contact with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a lot of angry people that have made a career out of being angry. And all they want to do is just make everyone else pay for what someone did to them.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's another thing. I think this happens to a great deal of men, but you don't hear about it because that's the thing. You're a man, you know. Your men don't complain about a woman abusing them because they feel like their masculinity is challenged. It's always like that. And that's why some men just stay silent about it and just take it.
You know, my sister, she texted me. She was like, you know, it's usually like you said, they feel emasculated or their ego, they don't want to complain to someone that their girlfriend or even in, you know, some homosexual cases, the boyfriend is abusing them, so they'd rather deal with it. Or she mentioned that they may escape the house by, like, you know, going to hang out with their homeboys or they cheat. So you have some men that they're in abusive relationships and they just end up cheating on their abuser. And to people on the outside, it looks like he's a womanizer because he's cheating on her and he's sleeping around, but they really don't know what's going on in the household that's creating that, you know, that behavior. I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah. Well, thanks for letting me share my story to everybody. I hope some people have heard it and they'll help them out, you know. Maybe they'll come
Absolutely.
And talk to y'all too.
Thank you. We definitely appreciate, like Al said, we definitely appreciate your testimony, and I'm so happy that you've been able to come, you know, through it with a better understanding of yourself and a greater love for yourself. So we definitely thank you.
Yeah. So are you, hey, Jason, before you go, though, let me ask you a question real quick. Are you married now?
Oh, no.
Married?
No. I'm 32 years old, man. I ain't getting married just yet.
Hey, don't wait till you're 50. No, I'm just playing.
I will.
Hey, whenever, look, whenever love hits. I had an aunt. She waited till she was around 50. Whenever love hits, hey.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Whenever it happens, it happens. Hey, it might happen next year. Well, who knows, man? Whatever happens, happens, man.
You made a valuable point, though, a very valid point with that. You know, a lot of people, that's all they know. They stay with the person that they know. You know, and that's a strong point, very strong point. You know, if that's all they know, you know. I know a lot of people that are like that. They with a person that they've been with since they were young. That's all they know. They're comfortable. They have children from this person. They refuse to just, you know, go outside. They're scared. They've never dealt with anything else, so you know what? They put up with everything, and I mean everything.
Yes, sir.
So good stuff. If you want to stay on the line, though, Jason, you can stay on the line. It's not a problem at all. That's what we do here. So You know, we're not forcing you off the line. If you want to stay on, you can stay on and continue to chime in. It's all a conversation. It's all up to
okay,
you.
Okay, man. Okay, sure. I'll make sure I'm still listening, but, you know, I'm kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Busy with other stuff.
You know, if you want to stay on, if you want to stay on, I'll keep your mic on. It doesn't matter.
All right.
Thank
all right.
you.
Let me bring Nelly in. Nelly.
What's up,
Nelly? You're on. What's up,
what's
Nelly?
Good? I'm good.
Hey, Nelly.
Hey.
Hello, hello. How are you this Wednesday?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
I'm chilling.
We good though. You know, we good. We want to hear what you got to say though tonight.
Well, I just jumped online because I was kind of. I'm trying to get ready. I'm going away this weekend. So
ooh.
I almost forgot. I'm not even going to lie. I was just running around the house taking care of some stuff, and I was like, wait a minute. It's Wednesday. I got to call and see how Ms. Jones and Al are and what the topic is tonight.
Appreciate
I know
that.
Aw, thank you.
Nelly, you're such the bestest.
Exactly, y'all the bestest
right?
too though.
I mean, we're trying, we're doing our best. We just want to just keep pushing it, you know what I'm saying, and keep pushing it, you know, and talking about this stuff.
I wish I got to hear that guy's, you know, his testimony, like what he went through, because like you guys are saying, you really hear it from like a guy's point of view. Like, I definitely have seen it before, you know what I'm saying, but it's different to hear somebody talk about it that's been it. You know what I'm saying? with that being said, I'll get into my own personal story, but the other night I was walking to my mom's house, and I was with one of my uncle's ex-girlfriends that I still refer to her as the aunt because she's been in the family for so long. Mm-hmm. And we were walking to our apartment building, with my mom's apartment building, and all of a sudden I heard like this screaming, like somebody was getting screamed on. And as I get closer, I realize that there's a car parked like a little bit away from the bus stop, and it's a dude in the car. When I say he was screaming at this girl, like he was so close to her face, you know what I'm saying? And he was screaming so loudly that it echoed in the night. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was screaming. I'm sure it was, like, spit on her face. Like, he was so close, and it was so crazy because she was just sitting there. She was just eating it. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I wish, like, I was a superhero at that point. You know what I'm saying? Because I would have went and tried to, like, be super save a hoe, but you know, still in all, you know, we see situations like that sometimes, and we're like, you know, that's that situation. I don't want to get into it. That's not my business. But I feel like if it was your family member, you would want somebody to step in and help them. You know what I'm saying? If everybody thought like that, the world would be a different place. But anyway, I realized that this girl is probably used to being, like, abused like this. And I'll put money on him putting hands on her. You know what I'm saying? Because when I passed by, I was so shocked that I kind of looked. You know, when you look into a car, you pass them by and you just look real quick. And then they noticed that I was looking, so I looked away because, A, I don't want her to feel bad. You know what I'm saying? I don't want her to feel bad about the situation. And, B, I don't want him to get more mad and, you know what I'm saying, take it out on her. And when we got a few feet away, he just, like, drove off. But he drove off so fast and reckless. It was just a messed up situation. And, you know, I know you guys are talking about abusive relationships tonight. So I wanted to definitely bring that up or whatever and see what you guys thought about that.
See, the thing with that is that, you know, we have these, you know, we have these underlying tones where, you know, we can't snitch, we can't call police. I just think that, you know, instead of turning the other cheek, you know, we need to get other people involved and not even take matters in our own hands and just call the cops, though, in these situations. Because let's just say that situation escalated where they went home and he beat her up real bad. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So just making that observation and reacting the right way, we could avoid so much. And furthermore, you know, just to be a little bit extreme, what if he killed her later on that night?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
We don't know. I just think, you know, when we talk about the black community, you know, as a whole, and we always talk about this, you know, just our own and protecting our own, you know, those are the kind of steps that we need to take to ensure that our communities are standing firm. You know, we got too much going on where we turn the other cheek.
Yeah, I've called. Like, there's a woman in the building next to me. Everybody on the block knows she gets beat. Everybody, and I live on a long block, and everybody knows she gets beat. We hear it through the window, and we all call. And you know what she does?
Mm.
She goes to the door and she tells them that nothing's wrong.
See, but the thing with that, and let me just use, you know, white people, for example, when we look at white people, you know, and I'm going to go right in on this. I'm going to go straight to the juggler with my point. White people are not going to allow you to come inside their community where they live at and disrupt it. If they see things that are alarming and things that are not appropriate, they call the police. They get authority involved.
It's true.
On the other hand, when we see things, first thing we say, I can't snitch. I'm just going to mind my business.
Snitching business, because I think that is so, it's so stupid. You know what I'm saying? Like, I heard Cam'ron say, like, oh, if he knew a rapist lived next door, he wouldn't snitch on them. He would just move. Like, what kind of dumb ass shit is that? Like, I've never heard anything so crazy. I understand that, you know, people don't want to be in the street telling everybody's business. I get it. But I feel as though if you have a neighbor and you know that somebody went in and killed your neighbor, you going to say that you don't know who killed the neighbor?
All of these codes and all of this stupidity is the reason why we don't have any kind of infrastructure and consistencies inside our communities. And this is why when these things happen, like domestic abuse, and we hear people yelling next door, we hear the woman yelling and the kids screaming, and we in our house, our apartment, and we turn our TV up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I can't do that.
We turn our TV up instead of calling somebody.
Right.
And getting someone else involved. You know,
this is why
we go through this over and over.
Exactly, because and you have some people, they become so immune and desensitized to it that it's really not a big deal. And like I said about the hope and wish factor, they hope and wish that either she gets out and she doesn't stare and nothing happens to her, this won't be her last day on earth, you know? So it's, like I said, a hope and wish factor, you know, so they leave it at that. I'm saying some people even go as far as I pray for her every night. I'll say a prayer for her.
Right.
Because, you know, in the black community, prayer works. But yet it's been 10, 15 years later and she's still getting beat.
Yeah, that's how I feel what's going on with this lady. It's like as many times as people call police, so, you know, it's kind of like she has accepted this way of life. She thinks that this is okay. So even though police is called and they come to the door, if she doesn't say that something's wrong, they go back where they came from.
Sure.
You understand? That's how it works. You have to have evidence. Like the police can't just come to the door and be like, oh, we heard somebody's getting beat in here. We want to come in and see what's going on. And if somebody looks beat up, we're taking them. Like if that person doesn't say, yes, he hit me, nothing happens unless they see it with their own eyes.
I mentioned in New York, they're pretty lax with that because it's a bigger city and there's so much going on. And then you have officers that are so disconnected from actually doing what they need to be doing. It's just the back was a big mess. But what should happen is the opposite of what you just explained. You know, that officer should be persistent in finding out what's going on. Someone called. Name it.
Right.
Everything all right? Who is the other person here with you?
Yeah.
Can we
see
that person? You know, that's what should take place. But
right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what, you know,
what also should take place, what also should take too is that along with the community having a bigger hand in the situation, that woman has to be strong enough to leave or let go or get help. You know what I'm saying? Like, coming from a situation like I grew up, I was the only child, and my mom raised me, and she instilled so much good gems and just knowledge in me that I always was like, you know what? I was at a certain age, and I know friends was going through different things, and I heard of different things. I was like, I've never been in an abusive relationship. You know what I'm saying? Like, that would never be me. No dude would really ever put their hands on me. And then without even knowing it, I was in an abusive relationship, and I didn't even know it until
it was
like mid, like I was midway to have, like, going out the door. Like, I didn't realize how abusive it was while I was in it. Like, it seemed like messed up at certain times, but I made the good times outweigh the bad times in my head. You know what I'm saying? It's like somebody gives you a crumb and you make a whole loaf out of that crumb.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? But it took somebody else stepping in, like Al, like you were saying. But it couldn't have been anybody, because had the neighbor called and been like, oh, there was a disturbance, I probably wouldn't have been like, yeah, my boyfriend's here and we getting into it. I probably wouldn't say that. You know what I'm saying? I opened up to my cousin, who lives all the way in Atlanta. We had actually fell out and we stopped talking. And then when we started back talking again, I was like, she was like, hey, cousin. She was like, so what's going on? You know, we got to catch up. And I was like, and I was so, it's like something in me was so happy to be talking to her, because it's like I could tell her what's going on. You know what I'm saying? This is family. This is my cousin. So
yeah.
I'm looking and I'm just like, you know what? Let me check to see if the door is locked. You know what I'm saying? Let me make sure nobody's home. And she was just like, what? You know what I'm saying? I was just like, yeah, because sometimes he'll be, like, hiding out somewhere. You know what I'm saying? And I think he's not home, and he really is. He's just wanting to see what's going on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and then it's like,
that's another one of the red flags. Where they say they're
going
out and then they pop back. Mm-hmm.
Right. So
let me add this real quick though, Nelly, because this right here. Let me share this bullet point real quick. So based on reports from 10 countries, between 55% and 95% of women who had been physically abused by their partners had never contacted non-governmental organizations, shelters, or the police for help.
I could believe it.
Yep. Me too.
It's sad, but it's so true.
But that's what
you know,
happens.
Hold on 1 second, Ms. Jones. Let me bring the conversation in. Let me bring him in.
Okay.
Conversation is good, brother. Your mic is open.
What's up?
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
What's good?
Good night.
You?
Good night.
This is a very, very, very delicate topic.
It is.
Very much.
Yeah, because I'm a firm believer that, you know, men shouldn't beat women, but I'm also a firm believer that nobody is above an ass whooping.
What?
I don't mean to laugh.
Okay.
Conversation is good, brother. You always put a twist. He fits right in with us. He puts a twist on everything.
Yeah, I mean, nobody
on everything.
Yeah, nobody is above an ass whooping. I mean, if you disrespecting to the point where you need your ass whooped, I mean, you need your ass whooped. That's just that.
I don't know about that one. You're going to have to expound on that one.
Elaborate, exactly.
I've never, like, hit a woman that I've been romantically involved with, but I have hit a woman before.
What? Okay, good night.
it was high school. A girl in my class was talking shit, and she ran up on me, and she tried to swing on me, but I caught her hand, and then she spit on me. And so at that point, I pretty much lost it, and I just punched her straight in her, face.
Okay. And how did you feel a sense of gratification after doing that? How did you feel?
I mean, well, of course I felt a sense of gratification. You know what I'm saying? I mean, not because of, you know, that she was a woman and I could just easily overpower her, but she was disrespecting, and I rectified the situation.
I know you probably had to deal. You probably wouldn't tell us if you got your ass whipped for doing that if she went and got her brothers in.
No. She would. So no, me and her brother fought as well.
What was the? But let me ask you something. Was there a lesson learned in that?
Not really. I mean, me and her brother fought. I mean, her brother lost, so, I mean, and that was that.
So you just beat up everybody, huh?
No, I don't just beat up everybody, but, I mean, that time I won. I mean, I haven't won every fight that I fought.
Get him, killer.
That time I won, huh?
Get him, killer.
But, you know, in the nature of the topic, though, with domestic violence, you have women, for example, that are in these volatile relationships where they're defenseless. They feel weakened and at the hands of a man that has manipulated these weaknesses, these self-imposed weaknesses that they have. And, you know, they're women, unfortunately, that are dying. Good brother, that are dying underneath these circumstances. You know, there are a lot of women fighting right now to get out of these situations. You know, they feel they don't have the courage and the strength, you know, to part from these situations, you know, at all. Very serious.
I mean, I got two male friends that have lost their life to some female that they were dating. So, I mean, it kind of swings both ways.
Well, I mean, I don't even know what to say. Me personally, I'm not about any individual spitting on. Like, I think if anyone gets spit on, you black out. But at the same time, there's different things that lead up to different things. I mean,
yeah, I think had she not spit on you, you probably would have hit her anyway. Not for nothing.
No.
I kind of get that feeling, but okay.
When I hear people say, oh, you disrespected me, that always annoys me because I find that some people will feel like, for instance, if I'm the man of the house and I come in and you don't greet me at the door, yo, you disrespected me. I came in. Where you was at? You was on the phone texting? Who you texted? And then it just escalates because he felt disrespected that he wasn't greeted at the door. Oh, I feel disrespected because every time I come home, you don't be cooking. You just be at home all day. I feel disrespected. This word disrespected is thrown around a bit too much. And then what I feel that they do is once they start saying, oh, I feel disrespected, it builds them in such a way that they feel, and this is men or women, that they could put their hands on you, they could talk to you any type of way. And another thing I want to point out, you have individuals that work different type of ways. You have dudes that just come out the gate and hit you. They're just physical out the gate. But then you have I personally think the ones that manipulate, they get you mentally so that when they do hit you, it's kind of like you've been hit, but they prepared you mentally for the hit. So now that I'm putting my
hands
on you,
now you definitely.
I'm totally
with you, Ms. Jones, with the manipulator. That eases me into that part. That person right there is very deadly, very deadly.
Yeah, because those are the groomers. And those are the ones that they're subtle with it. You know, they it's like they're the pros, and I'm not big on them. I'm really not. But I can spot them. Now I can.
I mean, to me, I'm like, to me, when it comes to this topic, everything is really a case-by-case basis, you know. It's
yeah,
like,
definitely,
cause, I mean,
definitely.
Because mm-hmm. I definitely felt justified for punching her in the face because she spit on me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because me
but here's my thing conversation is, I mean, you were in high school, so I'm going to excuse you, I guess, to a certain extent for that. My whole thing is, did you attempt to defuse it at any point in time?
I mean, we were joking, like high schoolers do, and then, you know, she started taking it too serious, and then, you know, things just escalated from there.
And no one tried to defuse it, because I was telling
of course nobody
tried to
defuse it. It's high school. Nobody's trying to defuse fights in high school.
No. I wanted to tell you, I know something else that happened, and I wasn't in high school. I was probably, 24, 25, and, you know, I was playing with one of my friends, and I was just smacking. Like, we were tapping. Like, I tapped him. At least I remember tapping him. Oh, boy, twisted my arm. And when I say he twisted my arm, the way I jumped back, I had to catch myself. Because trust me, if I didn't catch myself, I was going to jail that night. I'm sitting here like, we're just
playing, he was being
like,
naughty,
tapping each other. You know what? What are you talking
naughty.
About?
Naughty,
what are you
naughty.
Talking about?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm gonna knock you out. What did nobody even know that you were play fighting?
back to my point, you know what I'm saying, that nobody's above an ass whooping. I mean, everybody can do something.
I don't know about that statement. Conversations, that statement right there, you got the lines. Let me hold on 1 second. Let me bring Brother Black in right now. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
We're going to get some more colors.
What's going on, family?
Brother Black, what you got? Because this conversation, he always stirs the pot up. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, I'm listening, and I want to say, you know, everybody who you know, put their testimony out there, and, you know, I really salute you for, you know, for coming clean and saying, you know, and giving your story to everybody. It is a sensitive topic, and like conversation is, I've seen a guy, one of my best friends in high school, you know what I'm saying, did a similar situation with you know that you just described.
Yeah.
And it was crazy. It was his girlfriend, and she thought that he was kicking with some other girl. This is before, you know, classes started, where, you know, we're all in, like, the common area and everything like that. So she runs up on him, you know, to confront him, and she basically comes at him real aggressive and tries, you know, smack him, put her finger in his face and stuff like that. And he's like, you know, get out of my face, girl, you know, and pushing her hands away. So then she comes back, and she tries to kick him in the nuts, right?
Yeah.
So he blocks the first one, and then she tries it again, and all I remember is him just sticking his hand, his right, straight out. Dropped her. He dropped her in front of everybody. And it happened so fast, no one could even react to it. But the thing that was crazy about the whole thing was she went into a seizure right there.
Wow.
That, you know, and the other thing about this, I hope people are listening, this was a guy, he was our star running back on the football team. He lost everything. Every college that looked at him, it was over.
Wow.
So you have to realize, you know, if you're going to put your hands on somebody, I totally understand what you're saying. No one's above an ass whooping. But there's going
to
be some consequences.
To lose everything, though.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You have to be prepared to lose, you know what I'm saying, to lose. So it was just crazy, you know what I mean? So I just wanted to share that. And the other part, I don't know if you guys talked about it because I was trying to get in early and I couldn't hear everything, but from the kid's point of view, and I just wanted to say, from the video that you showed Mr. Jones online, that I saw the video and I saw the kid at the end just kind of go and sit by himself and put his hands over his ears and just kind of ball up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know what that's like. You know what I'm saying? I've seen women close to me in a confrontation like that, and a kid does not know how to compute that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that fury, that anger that two older people have, you think the world is coming to an end. So
yes.
You can't do that in front of you. You know, I mean, it's, can't even describe it. You know what I mean? It's the worst feeling you could ever have. You know what I mean? As a kid, to see your mom or your dad going at it like that. You know what I'm saying? So I just wanted to put that out there.
Absolutely.
I want to piggyback off of what you said in terms of, like, just being a child and hearing it and the energy that touches your spirit. Because you could be a happy child. You could have had a great day, but to hear that, and it's like, because you know, you remember, because we were all once children, and, you know, you think your parents are invincible. You think your parents are always going to be happy. You never want to see your mother cry. You never want to see your father cry.
Exactly.
And when you witness them go through that, it's not the boogeyman, but it's another type of monster that has, it's like something is taking over my parents. And it's like, what's going on? What am I seeing? So it's, On a broader level, it really affects them, and they take it, and it stays within them as they become older, and it has different ways of rearing its head. It's very sad, you know.
Exactly.
But it's not a good feeling. It really does. It really rips away at a child's innocence, you know. So a lot of people, like I said, I'm a pet parent. I don't have any children. But my pets don't have to go out into society and interact with individuals. Actually, one of my dogs, she's huge, and she's just like, I would hope that my little argument that I have with my boyfriend didn't make her, you know, lash out at other dogs. I really hope not. But when we get her a trainer, we'll find out if that's the case. But, I mean, you know. And ever so often, you know, when my boyfriend's daughter comes and visit, and if you do get into anything, I try to catch myself because I do have a mouth on me. I'm not going to front. You know, if you cross me in a certain way, I'm going to tell you.
Of course you do.
But you know what, Ms. Jones, you are right. You know, you're absolutely right because I feel like a lot of adults don't catch themselves.
Yes.
They really don't.
Exactly.
You know,
and
you
I,
see,
I really,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in front of his daughter, I really want to catch myself because I'm like, okay, I don't need her to, you know. And if it gets, I remember there was one instance where I actually went and spoke to her about a situation that happened, and I was like, you know, this is how, you know. And I don't try to say, oh, your father, you know, but I try to, like, you know, diffuse it on a certain level because I don't want her to think this is how you deal with dudes. You know what I mean? You know,
right,
so
right.
Yo, black folks are naturally volatile. Yo, we go from zero to 2,000 in like 2 seconds. Hold on one second, everyone, real quick. Let me bring another call in. We're gonna get to all the callers and bring everybody in. 347-409
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good night. Who are we speaking with?
This is Tammy.
Tammy?
Hey, yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
You say you better recognize.
Yeah.
Don't be bashful.
I pretty much was listening to the story with the other guy that he actually had to, he hit the girl because she spit on him. And I think, like, most black men don't really have fathers, so they don't, like, it's hard for them to know how to deal with situations like that where he could have just took the higher horse and just, you know, dealt with it in another way, more diplomatic way.
The high horse? To give spit on? There is no high horse.
The lovely
young lady.
Or the high route. Which one is it?
The high route, because he could have killed that young lady and he would have been in jail.
Yep.
And
that was the thing story. You just never know.
I mean, but that's anybody. Anybody I punch, I could accidentally kill them, man or woman.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but it's going to be worse if you kill a woman. Like, they will eat your ass alive once you get to prison.
Yeah. Then you'd be somebody in prison.
Yeah, like, explaining that she spit on you, that's probably,
you're gonna have to embellish your story. Nah, see what had happened was if she ain't spit on me, she kind of like hit me in my jaw, so I had to let
Well, that's kind of sensitive.
Yeah, I got a lick in. You know what I'm saying? Like, she had already hit me in my eye, and then I caught her hand, and then she spit on me. So, I mean, I had no choice. At that time, I had no choice.
Nah.
I disagree.
You going to prison for some crap like that? You'd be some money, bitch.
It's like us growing up, especially as men, we have this mechanism called.
Nah, you have that mechanism.
No. Listen. We have this mechanism that humbles us in the face of a man or a person that we feel we can't beat. So you're going to be more humble around them versus talking more shit to them. But females don't have this. Females don't have this mechanism.
Hold that thought right there. Let me bring another call in right there. I think this is Toya. That's heavy. 914-513.
Hi, everyone.
Hey.
What's up, Toya?
Yeah.
I just wanted to call, and it was a very deep and heavy topic tonight. Now, I myself used to date someone that was very touchy, and I don't mean touchy in a good way. Not so much hit, overhanded, but pinch and grab and twist. You know, pull arms and wrists and pull fingers back and stuff like that.
Wait, where was he from?
He was from New York, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a little torture method.
Because here in New York, we're very well versed with the law. You know, and physical evidence, bruises and stuff like that. So, you know, if you twist and you pinch and stuff, there's not really that much bruise. You know, you could just that type of stuff. But anyway, not to make light of the topic, but I just wanted to say that, you know, it's a control thing. It's a low self-esteem thing. You have men and women that abuse. But I think with the men, it's like an ego thing, it's a low self-esteem thing, and it's a control thing. It's a combination of the three, I would have to say. And my earliest exposure to this type of behavior was, I never forget, I had went down south one summer. We used to go to, my parents used to send me and my brother down south for the summer, you know, to get us out of New York for the summer. But anyway, I remember hearing some of my family members talking or whatever. I had a cousin, apparently older cousin, who was in jail. She's a female.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew from listening to the conversation she was in jail. And as the conversation went on, because I had two family members that was discussing it, she apparently was in an abusive relationship. And on top of that, this man constantly was cheating on her and also abusing her, hitting on her. So one night when he was sleeping. Yes, one night when he was sleeping, my cousin decided to go in the kitchen and whip up a pot of lye. So that type of stuff that you put in your hair to make it, you know, make your hair straight.
That's what happens.
So he decided to go in the kitchen and do a little cooking while he was asleep. She proceeded to pour it over him. That's what she went to jail for. So I say that to say this. You know, you really gotta understand when it's time to get out. Because, I mean, here he is, he was doing wrong or whatever, and she had her fill of it. And when she had her fill of it, it ended up in her being incarcerated. So, you know, you got to pick your battles. You got to get help, like, to get out of it.
Is she still locked up?
No. She's out. Oh. She's out now. But she went away. She went away for about 7 years behind that.
Wow. Right.
And that's the old school. That's the old school tactic, though.
Yes, it is.
That's so old.
Throwing hot grits on a nigga.
Yeah, but instead of grits, she gave him a relaxer. And somebody where you don't get a relaxer.
And that's what we were talking about earlier. You know, you have women that they get so frustrated with defending themselves that
they because, you know, they say there's nothing worse than a woman scorn. So there go her scorn, a pot of lies.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And with me and that relationship that I was in, I used to give as good as I got. So if he pinched me, I pinched his ass back. So, you know, you had to doing this craziness.
See, and I want to talk about that because then you get into the tit for tat thing, and then y'all both fighting, and it's like, whoa, wait a minute. And it's like that's the combat that I find because I saw even with that video, we saw she fought back, she pushed him, you know, on the train thing, and it's like you have individuals, girls that really they square up. Like I was watching Tanisha on Marriage Boot Camp, and she was squaring up with her boyfriend. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Tanisha. She's been in Bad Girls and a couple other shows. Yeah, and she squared up with her boyfriend. And come
but
to find
Jones,
out, this dude is deaf.
Know.
Her boyfriend is deaf. How you fighting with a deaf guy? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Ms. Jones, what I'm saying is when you were raised in a atmosphere where, like, my mother was very, my mother was, like, a very strong person, not so much that she dominated over my father, but she just had a very strong personality. So that type of behavior was, like, for a man to put his hands on a woman is just unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I guess from me growing up and seeing that, the idea of a man, like, pinching me or doing something real spiteful, like, to hurt me, that would enrage
mm-hmm.
me enough to
mm-hmm.
where I wanted to do it back to him. Not that it
mm-hmm.
was right, but, you know, you do have some, you know, guys make mistakes. They think that all women are very docile, and I'm going to use
exactly.
this word that I don't, I'm going to use this word that I don't like to use, but they think women are, all women are submissive.
Exactly.
And then you have some that if you put your hands on her, she's going to put her hands on you. She might take a
absolutely.
L. But she ain't going to give it to you. She not going to give it to you now. She ain't going to give the win to you now.
Right.
She's going to fight you for it. So,
quick
you got to be careful.
Do you mm-hmm. think, let's say if you're going tit for tat with somebody, do you think
mm-hmm.
if you go, it, like, let's say I did something to you, and then now you did something to me, are you
mm-hmm.
now opening a door for something even more extreme by doing that? Like,
yeah.
Do you feel?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because the tit for tat is always going to escalate. It's like, well, I need to get
right,
you
exactly.
a little bit better than
exactly.
Right.
And that's
me.
Why I said the behavior is wrong. Like, I mean, it's totally wrong. I'm not condoning that. All I'm saying is that you have to know when, like, this is not a good situation.
But
right.
this person,
this
wanna,
person
wanna...
triggers certain emotions. It makes me go out of my element. You know, you gotta tune into that when somebody's pushing your buttons to the point where you're about to lose it.
Right.
But I want to add to that. Because I've actually had a guy confess to me that I've actually had a few guys confess to me. They actually like when females get aggressive or turned on, or so they actually like. Now these are the manipulators because now
right.
they're manipulating a situation where you get upset, so that you're so upset that now I'm gonna fuck you. So now once I'm having sex with you and I done knocked you out, yay! So this is what dudes do. Some dudes, anyway. You have some females that do it, too.
Yeah, my partner always stirs that pot, man, with a big spoon.
But I'm serious. I've actually had a dude tell me.
Oh, my God.
I like when you get upset. I be making you upset on purpose. Excuse me, what? Yo, you know what? Have a seat. Because it's crazy. And so no dudes on the line going to admit to that? I can choose
not
that question.
Ms. Jones, you know, you are right. You are exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
But then what happens is it gets to a point where it gets too real. And then now
yes,
people,
exactly.
you know what I'm saying? You know, of course, you know, when you with your mate or whatever like that, you might do
mm-hmm.
these little, like you said, I might twist your finger or, you know what I'm saying, you might do this to me. And it goes back and forth. And then when someone gets a little extra, now you're like, hold up. This is not right, you know.
Mm-hmm.
By then it might be too late.
Exactly. But that's also still different from in terms of you actually have men that set up the whole thing. It
exactly.
Actually, you know, and that's the part that kills me because it's like he'll never admit that to her. I mean, well, it was admitted to me, but I mean, to other individuals, it won't be admitted that I would piss you off just so I could get the cootie.
But
not for that.
But Ms. Jones, you gotta admit though, it's some females who feel like their man don't love them unless he put hands on her.
Right.
Yeah, I said that earlier. Yeah, I said that earlier. You, of course, you know, it's something
that's
attached
a great point.
To the abuse. You know, there's something attached to the abuse. I mean, for some females, maybe it's like a daddy issue. Maybe when daddy did come around, he would always argue with mommy. So the only time I ever saw daddy was in an aggressive state. So now I'm going to transfer that onto my man. And if he's in an aggressive state, at least he's here. He's not abandoning me the way my father abandoned me. And it just goes on and on. That's why I said you have to peel back the layers, because there's so many different layers, you know, when it comes to why a person is staying or why they're not leaving. Another thing I wanted to touch on was in terms of international, like different cultural views. Like, we all know that I am West Indian. My parents are Jamaican. And me personally, I don't know if anyone has seen any of these videos where, you know, the girl and the guy, they're Jamaican, they're fighting. So I actually want to say, being raised in a Jamaican household, and actually, you know, my mom, she would beat me every chance she got. And also, you know, it's kind of a part of our culture. You hit me, I'm going to hit you back. And when we see people fighting, we watch, and it's like a normal thing, you know. But I don't want to say thankfully, but yeah, thankfully I was raised in the States with, and you know, with education and a formal learning, you get to see that this isn't normal, you know. And like I said, I wasn't born in Jamaica,
it's definitely, Ms. Jones, I'm with you. It's definitely innate behavior in certain cultures, though. Like, for example, you know, from African Americans. In the South, you know, the men love to give their women ass whipping, like kids. You know, it's a part of the Southern culture. So
I wouldn't say that. I mean, I'm in the South, and I wouldn't say that.
Can you punch somebody out? Oh, can you punch a female?
And a man, come on, conversation. You put porn on somebody.
The goddamn words.
But wait,
I may have punched a female, but I've never put hands on a female that I've been romantically involved with. That's the difference.
Oh, okay. Because you know, conversations. You know, I be a little leery with you sometimes because you get a little angry sometimes. So I have to like be clear.
Not angry.
Nickname killer.
Yes.
I mean,
from zero to 600. He be going 0 to 600 some shows.
Yeah, so at what age should a woman never have hands put on her again? Because I'm sure you guys believe in share the rise for the child. So at what age should a chick just not be hit anymore?
Well, at what age should a woman not
what,
be hit
what
anymore?
Capacity?
That's what I said. Is that even a valid question?
But yeah, I mean, because clearly her parents whooped her when she was being
disrespectful
or being out of line.
It's not clear. It's an assumption.
Yeah, taking the whole topic to another level. And
oh, Jesus.
People are really getting hurt, conversations. People are really being abused. This is a real serious issue. You know, I personally don't condone any man putting their hands on a woman. You know what I'm saying? Your particular case, isolated case, where you were defending yourself, you know, I was actually hit in the head, you know, with a bottle by a woman.
Well, what happened?
I responded because, huh?
Oh, hell no.
Yeah, one year I was involved in a confrontation with a woman. I wasn't intimately involved with her. You know, and I was hit in the head with a bottle. Thank God that happened. But I had to respond because I had to protect myself.
Was she Jamaican? Was it a red shot bottle?
No.
It was
a Hennessy bottle.
It was a Heineken. No, it was a Heineken.
It was a Hennessy bottle.
I have a crazy story.
Full.
While I was at a club, this guy
it
grabbed my
off
ass,
my head,
and too. I swear to God, wait, what, Al?
I said it bounced off my head.
It bounced off your head? What kind of head you got?
Yeah, it bounced off my head. It didn't break. Thank God it didn't break. And I responded.
Ooh.
And I actually drove off. I jumped in my truck. I drove off, and I was actually brought back by police to the scene of the incident. And this person, no blood or anything, but this person was like, yeah, he broke my nose.
Oh,
which
my gosh. Cool.
I was handcuffed, and I was taken to the precinct. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's the other, yeah. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
I thought she, okay, those are very interesting situations where, like, the dude actually walks away and drives off, and then, like, the cops come and get him or summon him back.
He's a black man. What do you think?
Exactly.
Yeah,
okay.
When I drove off, I'm thinking it's over. And,
right.
And I'm seeing the sirens coming, and I'm not knowing, realizing they're coming for me.
Mm-hmm.
They pull me over and bring me back to the situation, and, like, I said,
you pissed that
serious?
Girl off. You did something to that girl.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
He did something to that girl.
He pissed that girl off.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I mean, I defended myself. I grabbed a ponytail. I took it off. It wasn't her. No, I was
bad.
Hey, Al, that was going to be my next question. You know, ladies, you know, if a man is getting, you know, confrontational with you, closed hand or choke out? Which one would you choose?
Give me a closed hand.
What the hell?
What I'm saying is this. If a woman is attacking a man, right, and he has to defend himself, most men, like a lot of older cats, would be like, look, don't hit her. Just choke her. Just kind of get up on
no,
her and show her that you.
But not for nothing.
They
just hold the bag for me one time.
No,
she
had to shake the shit out of her.
Can I
that's
talk? Hello?
They said
one
time
this
the
older
guy
told me
said.
That he had an issue with this lady, and
right.
He was fighting. He was arguing with her, and she bit him on his shoulder. He had no choice. He had to punch her in the face. He said that's the only time he had to hit a woman. That she bit the shit out of him.
Well, hey.
I could understand, you know.
Chicks think that they have free reign to do whatever they want to do to a man.
It's true, yeah.
And I'm here to let you know you do not have free reign to do whatever you want to do to me.
Of course you don't. Not with you.
Not with me.
You better be careful, man. You be on camera. You put that shit on YouTube, your career is over.
Oh, jeez. We know conversation is big on his career.
I mean, I'm like way better at conflict resolution than I used to be. You know, like I haven't been in a fight in years now, but, you know, it's like 5-6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But Albert, I tuned in late. I wanted to ask another question. You know there's all different forms of abuse and violence. There's emotional and financial.
Yeah, the economic. Yeah.
People done got very crafty out here nowadays now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have all the financial thing. You know what I have to add on that financial thing? Men like to financially abuse women. You know how they do that? They come to you and tell you, oh, they can't pay their car. No, what the fuck I got to do with me?
Oh, Jesus.
I say the same thing to these females out here.
Financial abuse. That's a new one.
Yes.
That is financial abuse. When you go home,
I'm going
to pay it.
Yes. When the bills come through, you say, honey, I ain't got it. That's the case. I ain't got it.
And that's when they start talking about their mama's sick. It's one stick. The family bending on them. I'm like, what the hell did I do with me? Call Dr. Phil. I can't help you.
Gonna be another part two. I can hear it.
Let me ask you a question, ladies.
Wait, hold on, Al. They have something called an economic abuse where you can prevent the person from getting or keeping a job, making her ask or making him ask for money, giving her an allowance, taking away her money. Not letting her know
about
her
to a woman. Hold up, that's not economic abuse when a man is giving it to a woman. But when a woman is giving it to a man, that's a goddamn shame. That's a sin.
Oh, God. No, that would have to be...
Nah, like me, I don't pay no bills, I don't give no money, none of that.
Wait, that, that would actually be using his male privilege. He feels like because he's a male and because you are probably intimate with him, you should give him whatever he wants. So that's him using his male privilege. That's another form of abuse. Okay. There's different types of power and control type of abuses. I'm going to try to post them up in the chat room.
It's actually called being a bun ripper. Yeah, when you're a bun ripper, you can do that. You can flex those muscles.
Being a bun ripper.
Who's that?
I just made that up.
That's a man that has mastered the art of filleting the mignon. He's going to get his way no matter what. Yeah, one ripper.
Go sit down somewhere.
Okay, so I'm going to ask another
I don't pay people bills. That's like rule number one with a female. I don't pay chicks bills.
Excuse you?
Because we're in the day and age of side chicks and mistresses or whatever, what if they're getting abused by the guys? Do we feel sorry for them or do we even, you know?
No, I don't feel sorry for them.
Can't we go?
No, it got to be some girl code, Ms. Jones. Yes, we feel sorry for them.
Exactly.
Got to be a girl code. Got to have
no,
a girl code.
But there is no girl code.
Stop lying.
You sleeping with my man and he busting my ass? Yeah, let him bust your ass too. Good for you. That's what they do.
Share the wealth. That's right.
But you know what, Ms. Jones?
I can't.
But on a serious note, there's men out here that are abusing their main women. And their side chick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the sad thing.
Because they have low self-esteem, that's why.
I don't know. Everyone doesn't have low self-esteem.
Why would you need to beat on your woman? Honestly, seriously, why would you need to do that?
Control.
It's a thing of control, power and control. Yeah.
Okay, so if he feels like that's the only way he can get power and control, then there's something lacking in his self-esteem.
Of course.
I was dating this guy, and he was trying to mentally abuse me because I'm like 25 years old. This man was calling me grandma, trying to let me know that I'm an old woman. 25 years old, they had to cut his ass off. Can you imagine?
I'm not going to call his ass. Grandma.
He called me a grandma.
Wow.
An old woman.
How old was he? He was younger than you?
What was he, 12?
He was 35. He called me a grandma. He's a great grandfather. Called me a grandma. I was so pissed off. He was trying to do that mind game shit with me.
Oh, my God. I can't.
I was so pissed off.
They're trying to
make you have low self-esteem or something, like you're like nobody wants you. Get the fuck out of here.
Those are the red flags. I am sitting on the gold mine, the subtle name calling, the subtle, oh, why you always got to hang out with your girls? That's the beginning of isolation. I mean, you have to watch for all these things, you know, and the funny thing is, What'll happen with Jones, I love the signs you're putting out there.
Gotta put the signs out there.
He'll go out with his boys, and when he go out with his boys, you'll say to him, "Well, could you spend some time with me?" And then he'll be like,
"No,
I'll spend some time with you." And then the minute you go out with your homegirls, why are you going out with your homegirls? And it's like, oh, you know what? You're right. I'll stay with you. But then it starts happening more often. And before you know it, you're being isolated from your friends and your family. And then it's a part of the grooming process. So it's very manipulative and subtle.
Ms. Jones, is that like the first stages right there, that isolation? Is that kind of like the first stage of
there's really no stages because it depends on the individual and the situation. Some things are subtle, and like I said, some things just happen right away. But there's not stages, there's just different things. Like it could either be emotional, it could be like, you know, isolated, it could be that the person, for instance, you meet the person and all of his friends is like, oh, my God, he's so quiet. He's such a great guy. But behind closed doors, he's picking fights with you. He's arguing with you. He's blaming you for stuff. That right there, those are signs. Those are red flags. Because on one side, it's like everyone's telling me he's great, but they don't know what's going on behind closed doors. And now if I tell them, they're going to be like, no, not John, or what are you talking about? So now you're caught between a rock and a hard place because it's like no one knows the monster but you. And now you're starting to feel crazy. And it's like a lot of different things, you know. And it depends on the female that's being abused or the male that's being abused. Does she have family? Does she have a support system? Is she already a loner? Is she the type of girl that doesn't have a bunch of girlfriends? You know, and does she have anyone to reach out to? So it's a lot of different factors, you know.
I mean, but it's a big difference between low self-esteem and desire. You know, I mean,
how can you compare
the two? They
look
similar, like on the surface they look similar, but
desire and low self-esteem, I don't see the comparison.
Desire,
it's like an obsession or something like that.
Yeah, it's like. You know what I'm saying? Like Apple. You know what I'm saying? Take Apple. Apple has put it in the minds of people where they feel they need a $1,500 laptop. You know, like the MacBooks and all that kind of stuff. Where you know, like the $600-$700 laptops will do them just fine. But Apple has put that desire for Apple into people. So they need iPhones, they need iPods, they need iPads.
Okay, so how do you relate that to relationships?
Like low self-esteem is typically, well, I feel as if I don't have any more options. Desire is, I have plenty of options, but I just want this.
Okay, but I'm still trying to figure out how you're relaying that to an actual.
You should see my
situation.
Face right now. Well, conversation, you always judge it to me, my good brother W. You should see my face right now. I need to take a selfie so y'all can see my face. I'm totally lost right now.
Are you trying to find my way back
to the show?
Let me see. Okay, let me take a stab at it. Are you trying to say that the female feels like what she has is a good catch? So why should she let go of the good catch? And her desire is keeping her there? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you know, and I feel like sometimes I understand that because sometimes you have the guy that's the pretty boy, and the pretty boy is the one doing the most abusing. But because he's so cute, I can't let him go. I can't let no next chick get my pretty boy.
Let me
my
tell you,
pretty man,
all
you crazy?
Of the ugly one, too. The ugly one does it, they do it, too. So
they
mean, they
might
different.
Even do it more.
They even work with it. They know they're ugly.
Yeah.
It's not about ugly either. Sometimes he could be cute, but he'll be fat as shit, and he'll be trying to, like, you know, because he got that low self-esteem because he can't lose that weight. Yeah, I know about that.
Ugly people are the worst because they've been tormented ever since they was young, so they want to take it out on your ass.
Ugly people are the worst.
I have a question.
Beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
What would you guys tell someone who's going through something like this right now? Like, what would be the first stages that you would try to, you know, give them help on getting out of a abusive relationship? Like, what?
But I would tell them to look for the red flags. Like, when you're dating a guy, see how he interact with you and his people and how he treats his family. How he treats his family is going to be like a red flag, how he's going to deal with you in certain
not
situations.
True. No, not true. Cause
yes,
like
how
said,
he treats his mother?
Not only his mother, his sisters too.
They treat his mother good and treat his sister like a piece of garbage. So how he treats his siblings.
But
it's crazy because most abusers are great
actors. Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I think my sister's great to be like that. They're great actors. As I'm saying, they're manipulators.
They're used to hiding things.
You can't act forever because once you live with a person, you see all the true colors. So all that acting on the
window. But see, but what he's saying is, what if you're in it? you've been acting with this guy for like 5, 6, 7 years.
Right.
Now what are you gonna do?
Well, you with somebody for 5, 6, 7 years and they was acting all that time, you a damn fool. You need to get your head examined.
Okay,
you're supposed
see,
to be able to pick that up with the first few months. Damn.
But see, that's
what I'm saying.
Earlier. Sometimes it's not as easy as, you know, as
it's
we're
not
easy,
but when you listen, when you really listen to people talk, they tell them their true self. You got to listen to what people are saying. A man's going to tell you what he wants the relationship to be. If he wants to be with you, he will say it. He's not going to act fine.
Mm.
You don't say he's going to let you know that he's an asshole. Certain things that he's going to tell you.
The first time he put his hands on her, she should leave. That should be it.
Well, me, I feel like all you can do is plant the idea. You know, it's kind of like the movie Inception. You know, it's like you plant the idea that something wrong is going on, and then you just have to take a step back. And hopefully the idea catches and grows in their brain so they can start to see things the way that you see it. Because if you try to do any more than that, then they're going to reject what you're saying, even though what you're saying is good advice, but because you're trying to force them to do it, they're not going to want to comply.
I wanted to mention some red flags. We have verbal red flags where you threaten to kill or use violence, or you threaten to kill yourself, or you threaten to kill someone else, or you threaten to kill the person. When you call over and over again, I know I've seen on Instagram where people call each other 100 times or they block them and then they unblock them and then they block them again and they call 60 million more times. Constant accusations of cheating. We have yelling, insulting, calling names, being sarcastic, making demeaning jokes like, ooh, you need to get your ass done. I'm just playing, you know.
Or your grandma.
Like,
can you imagine
that? Exactly. Excessive swearing, you know. Even when it's sunny, they cussing. When it's raining, they cussing. When it's snowing, they cussing. They just cuss 24/7. Mimicking. I hate when people mimic me. Like, you'll say something, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, like, you say something. And it's like they'll mimic you, and it's like, are you serious? Making degrading or negative comments, leaving vulgar messages, or texting. I would like to point out that a lot of abuse does happen via text, which is interesting because these texts can still be used against them, and they still do it. Silent treatment. Twisting a partner's words. You know, that's a part of the mental abuse where I didn't say that. Yes, you did say that. You said it this way. No, I didn't say that. I said it, you know. And then the lying, you know, the constant lying. I have some other stuff, but I'll mention that in a few. You know, I have emotional red flags and physical red flags. You know, someone mentioned hitting, slapping, biting, shoving, tension, spanking, shaking or jerking, spitting, burning. I know people smoke a lot, weed or cigarettes, so they'll probably burn you and nick you, restraining you, holding your wrist. Abusers love grabbing the wrist. Chasing, take you around the house, chase you around the block, chase you around your car. Forcing sex, sexual acts. I know a lot of people like roughhousing, and they get turned on where they think, oh, he loved me, so he going to give me this D. And that's another form of abuse.
That's a turn on. What do I call a cup of your ass?
Touching in uncomfortable ways. You know, Toya mentioned the twisting and the pulling and pinching. That's not cute. Pulling your hair. Don't pull my Brazilian. Stop playing.
Not the hair.
Exactly. Remember, Al, I mentioned
girl, stop playing. You know that's yucky. That's yucky, girl.
Can you give me some?
I don't care what it is. Yucky, yucky, flacky. Don't touch it.
Exactly. Driving recklessly. I'm a driver. I will not recommend getting in any type of arguments in a car. Someone has to pull over. Someone has to step out. Because arguing in a car is not the way to go.
Not good. Not good.
Punching walls. I had a boyfriend that would punch walls, and it's like, he was real good, though. He never actually touched me. There was a lot of holes in the walls, but in his wall, because it wasn't my house, it was his parents' house, but, I mean, it was crazy. Like, he would punch walls. So that's one of the
trying to intimidate you.
Yeah, exactly. Intimidating factor. The last set of red flags or emotional red flags, using personal information against partners. So, like, if your partner knows that your mom used to sleep around, and then when they fight with you, oh, your mom used to sleep around, so you sleep around too. You're like, wait a minute,
what?
Exactly.
Like that?
Thank you. If they're constantly blaming you, so they got fired at work because they didn't know how to put the boxes on the truck right, but they come home and they blame you. That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Not accepting responsibility for their own actions, playing mind games. You know, we have a lot of individuals that have been incarcerated, so they're going through a lot, and they try to put that on you. Using the guilt trip, demanding, you know, you're not here for me, you don't listen to me, what's going on? It becomes a little bit overbearing. Constant interrogations. Where you was at? What you was doing? What you ate for lunch? You ain't buy me no Chipotle? Why you didn't get me no Chipotle? Mocking your body parts. Like I said, oh, you need to get your ass done. Your ass ain't real. You should get a fake ass like them chicks. You know, or even from the females. You know you're not working with nothing. What's going on down there? You know, controlling their activities. Intense jealousy or rages. Criticizing a partner's look. Isolating them from their family and friends. Checking up on your partner. Insulting your partner's family or friends, or taking personal items from them, like when chicks destroy their Xboxes and their PS or their Jordans. I saw a picture. This girl poured paint on all of his sneakers. She must have took all 1,600 sneakers out of his boxes and poured paint all over them. So you know, there's a lot of different. I just like condensed it with my little examples, but
But
Miss Jones, can I say something? The Xbox.
She need an ass whoop. She need an ass whoop for that.
The Xbox. The Xbox should be fair game, because if he's not working and he's at home all day playing Xbox, then I have to agree with her for doing that.
You said it was fair game.
Really? Mm. Wow.
But all I gotta say is pour paint on my shoes or pour bleach on my clothes or something like that and see what happens to you.
Oh, there we go. You know what? I had a cousin that actually went through that. Her husband bleached, and she was very big on name brand stuff, and he took all of her clothes out of her closet and threw bleach on them. Like you have men that do these things, because I don't want you to wear these clothes to get that attention and to be happy, so I'm going to pour bleach on them. It's crazy. You have to, that's crazy.
The manipulation is crazy.
It's serious. That manipulation and the intimidation and the grooming, I'm telling you, the grooming, that's because you know you're like Al said, you're vulnerable. You want things to work out. You don't want to be paranoid. You want to love the person, and you want them to love you. But little do you know, they give you the okie doke. And all
Do me a favor, Miss Jones.
Yes.
Do me a favor and put that number out there again. That hotline number.
Okay, so we have, I'm not seeing the, but it's okay, I have it. I wasn't seeing, because I put it in the chat room. So the numbers, once again, now my mouse wants to disappear. We have the National Domestic Violence Hotline, which is 1-800-799-7233. Once again, that's 1-800-799-7233. We have the National Sexual Assault Hotline, which is 1-800-656-4673, 1-800-656-4673. Then we have the National Teen Dating Abuse Hotline, which is 1-866-331-9474, 866-331-9474. Don't have any websites offhand. Give me a second. I'll post them up. But we have ncadv.org. So that's the National Domestic Violence National Coalition Against Domestic Violence. That's what it is. NCAVV.org. So it's the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence. That is .org. That's a very great website. And you know, things are at our fingertips. Please don't make light of it. You know, like I said in other shows, as Black people, we like to laugh and we like to make fun of things. But at some point in time, you have to step back and, you know, try to look at things from a serious aspect, you know, and try to be a good Samaritan and try to help someone out. Try to put a smile on someone's face, you know. Don't always think that if I put a smile on their face, they better put a smile back on my face. No, sometimes you should learn to be selfless and reach out and help individuals, you know. That's what I just want to say.
Here's the easy solution. Don't get romantically involved with anybody you feel like you need to change or control. It's going to automatically lead to conflict.
Yo, it just got so quiet right there. I thought that
I know,
was
like,
Al, you need a crickets button.
Yo, I'm gonna say this: if somebody's out there and they're in an abusive relationship, when you're fed up and you're ready to go and you're ready to take that next step, you do everything in one moment. You do not go back. You find wherever you're gonna stay at. Do not go back because that gives the abuser a chance to get you. Just go.
Yeah,
don't tell anybody. Just go.
Yeah. Don't text. Don't tweet. You know, like
right.
I said, we're in the social media age where, like I mentioned earlier, you know, they what's the word I'm looking for? They try to get you through the texting. They try to get you through the social media. They'll send out little tweets. They'll send out little pictures or memes or whatever. You know, and it's their way of pulling you back in. But at some point in time, that straw on that camel's back will set you free because it's not worth it. There's someone else out there for you, you know. And if there isn't anyone else out there for you, be content with just being by yourself. It's not bad being by yourself, you know. Now, why are we hearing music?
I'll put the music on.
There you go, a little background music.
You know what?
A little background music, a little bit.
That little background.
I was,
you feel like this is the club. It's time to, you know, wrap it up. Yeah.
Definitely,
Sarah.
Just get out.
Yeah, I was taking some notes down while you guys were talking though, because it's just so serious. The lines are still full too. I just appreciate everyone that just hung on and just took this in, and not to take the seriousness out of the particular topic, because domestic violence is serious. You know, this has affected, you know. Most of us indirectly, if not directly. And I know a few women. I tried to get someone on. I know in the past she wanted me to do this particular topic. She wanted to come on and share testimony, but she was tied up. And I tried to get someone on because I helped them kind of get through their situation. And they had went through broken arms and lost teeth. You know, very, very, very ugly situation.
Wow.
And I was able to be a friend and just kind of help them get through it all, you know. And they were at that point of giving up. Giving up. You know, I think another dynamic to this is where people commit suicide. You know, they just say, you know what, I got to get out of this. I'm not strong enough to walk away. I'll just end it.
I came across something where they talk about, you know, domestic violence within the military family or, you know, with cops. Because we always hear about police officers or, you know, army, military, what's the word I'm looking for? Al, the music is driving me nuts.
Law enforcement.
Exactly. You have law enforcement. You have law enforcement, you have military personnel that, you know, they're going through domestic violence. And what happened is you have some military individuals that come back with post-traumatic stress disorder, and they're lashing out at their family members or their wives and their children. So it's very chaotic. And the wives, they feel like the guilt is on them more because they feel like they're not being supportive of his post-traumatic stress. He feels like he doesn't have any post-traumatic stress disorder or what have you. So it's very chaotic when it's from a law enforcement aspect.
Right.
Yeah, so I just wanted to point on that. They have it pretty hard, too. You know, so hopefully individuals definitely get the help before it ends up pretty fatal, you know?
Exactly.
Okay. Yo, thanks a lot, man. Everybody, man. Brother Black, man. PD Radio, Ms. PD, everybody. I'm giving everybody shouts out and love. Yo, shout out to the sun. It was 500 degrees today.
Oh, my
yeah,
goodness.
It was toasty out.
Yo.
I was supposed to barbecue today. I'm barbecuing tomorrow, though. So, I already put out my semi-invitations. I'm cooking for my sisters. And
Uh-oh.
I'm serious. My meat is seasoned and everything, yeah. Yes, Miss Jones be throwing down in the kitchen. Tell them, Al.
Yeah, she do. She get it in.
Okay.
Yeah, she get it in. She ain't just
I'm mad, but I'm blessing. I'm blessing.
That girl got talent.
Get it in.
Hey.
Yeah, that girl got talent.
Hey. Thank you to all of our callers and all our listeners. I see y'all. Thank you. Well, I can't see y'all physically, but I hear y'all know what I mean. Y'all know what I mean. and our guests in the chat room, my chat room kept, malfunctioning, but I saw the guests in there. Thank you very
conversation much. Conversation is left. I'm looking at all the numbers. He left. Toya
conversation is
button.
What happened. Exactly. With the cricket.
Toya is so...
Yeah, y'all
Toya
need that.
So
y'all need that cricket button. Y'all need that, because every now and then it gets real quiet. Somebody said something so profound that we all are like...
Yeah, we did.
We struck like dumb stuff. Like,
stunner.
Toya. Yeah, pardon?
Toya, stop messing with killer. I don't want to come up missing, okay?
I always like messing with the pit bulls, Ms. Jones. I always like messing with the pit bulls.
Hey, Black, I was over here in tears when she said, I need a cricket button. I literally was in tears. I had to cover my mouth.
Now, that would be a nice effect. I would definitely add that to the list.
No cricket.
Now, to get the cricket sound bite?
I think you should do that.
You saw how quiet it got. Like, it got real quiet in there. Nobody knew what to say.
He'll
say something every now and then. He'll say something that goes left, and everybody, like, gets quiet.
I'm advocating. I'm not. Y'all wrong. See? I have my halo. I'm not messing with y'all.
I just made him.
I like him. He's interested. I like him.
There you go.
He was online.
We went to his webpage. I said he has nice eyes. I still think they contacts, but if they his, they're nice.
What color are they? What color are they, Ms. Jones?
What color are they? Are they like a, I don't know, like a brown? A light brown?
Oh, okay. Yeah, did y'all tell him? He said he's not paying no bills either. He don't pay bills. He don't do a lot of things, but he'll hit you, though.
I'm done with y'all. We're going to end this. You're taking it somewhere else. And y'all not sucking me into this. I'm a nice guy. I'm not going to do that.
It's for love, Al. It's for love.
Catch us next week. We're gonna be turning up next week. Al, we keep your summer hot on Wednesdays. Yes. Al. It's not hot.
Great show.
It's not
hot. Thanks a lot, Toya Nelly.
Thank you, Toya. Thank you, Brother Black. I'm sorry. And Jason, thank you for your testimony earlier. Thank you.
All right, you guys have a good night.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, Brother Black. Appreciate it.
Peace out.
Next week, we'll be right back with it. Let It Be Known live video with Al King and Ms. Jones. Everyone have a safe night. Much love. and we'll see you next week.
Bye.